Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
Well, hello and welcome back to my careers podcast, where I interview fascinating professionals who have made amazing career changes or have transitioned into entrepreneurship. Now, today I'm delighted to have on the show Sonia Ray, because Sonia is a serial entrepreneur, so there's plenty for us to talk about. She started her first business while she was at university, and it was called Dial a Tutor. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? And 20 years later, after a successful career in the IT industry, she returns to the entrepreneurial world. Sterling Results is Sonia's umbrella company, from which she runs three businesses: the Business Brains Club, where she mentors small business for growth; the Sterling Results Fitness Club, which focuses on those who are or who want to be fit, fabulous, and over 50. Oh, that sounds like me. Might need to join you, Sonia. And finally, Trekking Adventures, where she takes people on the trek of a lifetime, ensuring they are fit enough to enjoy it. So welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thank you, Jane. What a wonderful opportunity to talk to you tonight.
Yes, well, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. Actually, it's making me laugh. This last one, the Trekking Adventures, where she takes people on the trek of a lifetime, ensuring they are fit enough to enjoy it. I think that's so apt, isn't it? Because so many people want to go on these amazing adventure tours and they don't think about preparing themselves in advance. So thank goodness there's you.
Yes, and I've seen a lot of those, so I think that's why this all came about.
That's right. But anyway, for today's podcast, let's start with my usual format, because I want to know about your early days, what career aspirations you had, just to kick off the show. So tell us a little bit about your early days.
Certainly, Jane. Look, it's quite interesting when you go back and you think about your life as how it changes over the time. So I was very fortunate, loving family who actually suggested that at five I will go to university. So even if I had a career or an idea when I was a little girl, it was never going to be anything else but you will go to university and do something. So my aspirations as I was going through high school was actually to be a dentist. Quite different to what I've ended up as, but by all means a dentist at when I was 15 years of age. So that was where I started thinking about what my career would be.
Actually, I know, looking through some of the notes that I have about you, you were also thinking about becoming an opera singer. Is there anything that you didn't aspire to do or be?
Well, I suppose that's it. I did train as an opera singer, and so offline I'll give you a demonstration at some point. But certainly we will not hurt the ears of your audience right now. But that would have been that still is my dream. If I could live my life again, I would do that. But as we know, you're one in a lifetime to be a Dame Joan Sutherland. So sometimes it's better to go off and do something that might earn you money.
Okay. Well, you can give me a demo after we've had a few glasses of wine one evening. All right. Okay. So from your early experience thinking about becoming a dentist, what actually happened?
Look, it was an interesting time through school. Obviously, we all have ideas when we're in school. We get distracted in different ways. So perhaps I got a little bit distracted at times. And so my teachers often thought I wouldn't even make a university, let alone to be a dentist. They actually told my mother I might be a shop assistant. So you can imagine I was quickly pulled out of one school and sent to another.
That wasn't going to be. Well, those are very encouraging teachers that you had in the early days.
I know. But there was one thing I was very lucky at, and that was I was brilliant at mathematics. So I went through school. I did all those hard subjects in year 12, maths 1, maths 2, physics, chem, as one does, and didn't make it into dentistry. Still wanted to do that when I finished year 12, but didn't make it in there. But I had outstanding marks in mathematics, so I ended up doing an applied mathematics degree. So quite different. I was a mathematician and a statistician. Again, completely different to where I am now, but certainly had a lovely time at uni studying those areas. But you can imagine if you are a mathematician or a statistician, there aren't many career options. They are actress, engineers, statisticians, quite what I would call boring, no offence, everybody, but not my type of career. So I then said, well, what does one do with a maths degree? And again, my mother and an old teacher came to the rescue and they suggested I go off and do an education degree. So my first career was a school teacher teaching mathematics.
Ah, and how did you enjoy that?
You know, I was very lucky. I taught in one of South Australia's private schools, straight out of uni, straight into a permanent private school job. So I was very, very fortunate. And I really loved it. I taught upper secondary mathematics to very bright girls. I was given some advanced classes. And so it was wonderful helping and mentoring and motivating people to love mathematics as I did. And I really enjoyed that. Personally, I didn't enjoy the school. The school was very rigid and it wasn't something that benefited or could help me in what I wanted to do in terms of helping the girls. It was quite structured. So I took my beautiful permanent full-time job and at 26 resigned. And one of those things that people don't do, but one of those things that I think you have to do if you're not happy in a career. So I left there and then I went and worked in probably the worst school in South Australia in the public system. Again, it was a girls' school, but it was at the complete opposite. And the most beautiful thing there was, again, educating girls and teaching them that they could be anything they wanted to be, that they could have the dreams of a lifetime and that they didn't have to follow in their parents' footsteps or they didn't have to believe what some people were telling them, which was, again, that they might just be a checkout chick because that's what everyone else does in this district. So I went from teaching students who wanted to be astrophysicists to girls who thought, do I have to come to school? I prefer to go and have a baby at 15. So it was a beautiful career, but one that was quite demanding. And let's not take away from teachers. They give a lot to students and it is a wonderful career, but it is extremely demanding. So I only lasted 6 years in the education system.
Oh, 6 years is a fairly long time, especially if it wasn't really your true calling. That's the thing. So you're doing really good work, and I think I can detect some passion when it was empowering other young women to take control of their lives. I like that because that must have been rewarding. And so when you left the education system, where did you go? What did you do?
Well, someone whispered in my ear and suggested that I could sell ice to the Eskimos. So I found a job in an IT company and that was the beginning of my fortunate career in technology. So I joined a small company as a salesperson and had a fabulous first day where I laugh a little bit about it, but I'm sure people in the industry would, where I arrived and one of my colleagues said, well, you can do, they were supposed to be helping me, perhaps mentoring me, and they basically said I could be their typewriter slash, you know, their personal assistant slash their lackey. Well, that didn't go down very well day one. So, but I stayed with that company for 6 years. I ended up not only being their top salesperson, I turned into their sales manager and grew their company quite dramatically. Again, that was a South Australian SME organisation. We grew that business from a very small amount of revenue, say $4 million to $18 million. Mm. So a small company, but in a short period of time became a very successful South Australian organisation.
Wow. So how did you enjoy transitioning into sales? Because some people say salespeople are born, not made. What's your opinion?
I think great salespeople are born, that you can make a fabulous salesperson. Mm-hmm. So, I do believe that it is an innate thing. And so I used to sell mathematics. You know, I would sell the power of positivity. This is all about how you how you put your messages across. And it was very easy for me to go into technology and sell. So I think I'm going to go with there are born salespeople, but let's not stop anybody from going to the industry, because with great training and with great guidance, you can be a fabulous salesperson.
Mm. And you had such an interesting sales career, because going from being a salesperson to a sales manager to national sales manager to regional general manager to director of sales, etc., it really you progressed very, very well. Was this what did you say? Was it about 20 years?
Yes, yeah. I was in the industry for some time, and one of the things that I have done is I've never sat still. So I changed careers every the longest career I had was that first sales career. Mm. After that, I would change careers about every 3 years.
Mm. I like the idea of that, you know, because 3 to 4 years or so, it gives you enough time to get up to speed, to really get to know your customers, to make some inroads and get some accomplishments, and then move on. It keeps you flexible and adaptable, doesn't it?
It does. And one of the things I thought was very important, and I do believe with every career it's very important, is that you learn all parts of that industry. So when I was in my sales roles, if you think about technology, there's so much in technology. So I would start out back in the 80s selling PCs when they first came out. Then I would learn and I'd sell people, so services. And then there was new technology, a little bit like Skype. It's video conferencing. And that was the first time video conferencing was out there, and we'd learn how to sell that. Then as I went through my career, I thought, what haven't I learned? So I joined companies that would allow me to grow by being an expert in selling different things. So the next thing was supercomputers. So I worked for a company where we sold supercomputers to universities, an area I hadn't done before. I then moved from there and to a company where I'd learned how to sell high-end servers and back engine areas. And then I realized that I didn't know about software, so I went to a company to learn software. So I progressed not only in my personal selling, but in those companies in terms of continuously progressing from selling to companies, selling channels, to selling small business. So I looked at my portfolio and went, what haven't I perfected, and where do I go to get that? What career direction do I take to perfect that out?
Mm, what a great attitude, because that way you're actually acknowledging there are gaps, I need to fill them. And then all the time you just keep learning and learning and learning, which is exactly what employers actually want. They want individuals who are self-reliant and resilient when there are changes. So with all of these changes, were they all by your own volition, or was it sometimes a bit of a restructure that affected your positions?
Significantly both. As you said, if you can imagine 20 years changing every 3 years, there's a few jobs in there. Mm. I made significant changes myself, where I would resign from a company to go somewhere because I saw a better job. I was often headhunted into new roles, so I enjoyed that ability to be seen as successful and get headhunted. And there were several redundancies in my career. So in IT, companies get bought out. In fact, all the companies I have worked for, none of them exist in that name anymore. Mm. Because either they have been bought out or they had, or they've now gone off the system. So there were three redundancies, and those redundancies are very interesting because it makes you take time to reflect. You also usually have several months where you're getting back into a new career. One of the opportunities, one of the situations was I was in Adelaide with a career, and that company got bought out by another company, so they made all the first company directors redundant. then I thought, well, I need to go to Adelaide, to Sydney now, because Adelaide has no more jobs for me. I had the top job in Adelaide. Mm. I was it. So I can't get another one of me. As such, I moved to Sydney. Now the challenge started. Now I had to knock on doors to find the job that would get me into the Sydney market and into the career I wanted.
Mm. Really, I think it's your resilience and your identifying where are the opportunities that has helped with your success. And so with this long, illustrious sales career, and you are now an entrepreneur with three different businesses, what was this watershed moment or the crossroads or whatever it is that made you decide, okay, I'm going to be an entrepreneur?
Well, as I just mentioned, after being made redundant three times over the 20-year period, one has to start thinking, is this the right industry to be in?
Exactly. I mean, thank God it was sales, because at least you know how to market just about anything, as you say, you know, what ice to the Eskimos or whatever. Okay, so with this watershed moment, what happened?
Yeah, so look, it was fabulous. I was literally the day after I'd been made redundant, I only had about 4 hours of depression, so that was my 4 hours in life where I went, oh, no, what will I do?
Sonia, knowing you had 4 hours that long. Goodness.
No, probably not. but it was a very worrisome moment, because I'd seen people create their own careers through their own hobbies / passions, and I went, I don't really have one. Of course, I was thinking this as I was walking to the gym, and I'm not a big, I wasn't a big gym junkie. It's just that, you know, one has to go to the gym to keep fit. And then I'm walking there and thinking, you know what? I like going to the gym and I like climbing high altitude mountains. And I'm so disappointed when I see people not do a very good job of it and really struggle to climb a mountain or go trekking. And then I went, I know what I'll do. I will go and get a certificate in fitness. I will become a fitness trainer, and then I'll set up a business where I can help people climb mountains so that they can have the adventure of a lifetime. So Trekking Adventures and Sterling Results Fitness Club was born.
How fantastic. I like that idea. So you turned really a hobby into a business, and it's going strong now. But what about this other business that you set up? So you've got Sterling Results Fitness Club, you've got Trekking Adventures, and then you've got another one. Tell us about the other one, Sonia.
So I think, like every good, you know, director of business, and that's where I'd had my 20 years, you must get your foundations locked in. You must get your strategy right. So I spent my time getting Sterling Results Fitness Club established and built the clientele up. Then I launched Trekking Adventures because they dovetailed together, and I got that going. And now I was running those two businesses successfully, but it gave me this opportunity in the middle of the day, because I think we all know that most people exercise between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. So my day was fairly flexible, and I felt that I wasn't giving enough back to the industry in terms of my brain. I was giving a lot in terms of the new skill I had, but not where my old skills had lied in my general management, executive management skills. So I decided that going to a lot of networking meetings, I saw that people valued other people's ideas. So they valued the idea of getting like-minded business brains together. And that's where the Business Brains Club came from, because it was an ability to bring people together. What I do is I facilitate mentoring for businesses to help them grow, but I will also bring like-minded business owners together to share ideas. So this became my afternoon job, shall we say, which allowed me to use those skills I had gathered over 20 years, the general management skills, to use those skills to help small businesses grow, because most small businesses know how to create the widget that they're an expert in. So if they're a glass manufacturer, they know about glass. If they're a restaurateur, they know about restaurants. If they're a fitness person, they know about fitness, but do they know how to run a business? Do they know how all the essence of general management is? So that's strategy, sales, marketing, managing your people, managing your finance, and managing the overall operations of the business. So my job in the Business Brains Club is to mentor people in those six pillars of growth to help them become their own general manager of their business.
I think so many small business owners definitely need that as well. And it sounds like you're very passionate about it. It must be great when you get everyone together and they're all brainstorming, what else can we do to build the business? And so often with entrepreneurs, maybe you find this, because entrepreneurs love bright, shiny objects and they're full of energy and very creative, that they tend to be a little bit like a headless chook, would you say? And then they need someone to rein them in and say, well, actually, it would be really good to follow this process, or you're working on this particular pillar of growth today. Is that what you do?
Yes, it is. And I often say I act like your board. So if I'm going to be the chairman of your board, you need to respond to these areas to become accountable for what you're trying to achieve, so that the shiny toy doesn't take your attention, that you still drive the areas that need to be driven. So I like to make them accountable. And as someone said, I'm pretty tough, but I will get results.
So what would you say is the most rewarding aspect? What do you love the most about what you do?
I love being able to, it is what you said earlier, and it started as a young person, but I love that ability to help people. And I know people say that all the time, I want to help people. But the rewarding bit is when you see the difference it makes. So whether that is helping someone, and I often use the word transformation. So whether it's helping someone transform their business, whether it's helping them get fitter, whether it's helping them overcome illness, because often I see a customer in the gym who's got serious health issues with heart and diabetes and issues with their knees or their hips. So you're trying to come up with a program that's going to get them to feeling better, feeling more positive, feeling more like they've achieved something. And that's the same in business, when people can realize that, oh, I can actually do this in my business. I can actually achieve these end results. It is so a wonderful feeling and gives me the return, if you like, the reward back.
And what about what's really rewarding about trekking adventures?
Well, if you've ever climbed a mountain and you've just looked out over that scenery and just smelt the air, which there isn't much of sometimes when you go high, that is reward in itself. And if I can share that with people, if people can come on an adventure, as I say, an adventure of a lifetime, and get to that top of that mountain still feeling fantastic, still feeling like they've not only achieved it, but they've got room to move, if you like. They've got room to breathe because they're fit. Then it becomes the adventure of a lifetime. And that's a magical feeling I've felt many times, and it's a magical feeling I'd love other people to experience.
Yeah. You know, I've only ever climbed one significant mountain, I suppose. It's probably not very significant to you, but it was to me. It was Mount Kinabalu. Many, many years ago. And it was so exciting because it was a trek, and it's not the hardest mountain in the world, but it did take all day. And then we had to stay overnight halfway. And then they woke us up at about 3 a.m. to do the final bit so that we would be at the top and watch the sunrise. And it was, and this is really magic. I'll always remember it. That feeling of achievement when you get to the top, it's like, oh, I really did it, because the last 3 hours were so hard that I kept thinking of ways that I could get out of it and go back down the mountain. It's like, I don't want to go any higher. I don't want it. But I was with a group of people. I didn't want to let everybody down. So it's like, oh, keep going. But gosh, it was hard. But the funny thing was as soon as we got up there, I thought I was like the first person on top of Everest. And I look around and there were like 60 other people with me I hadn't noticed on the way up, because I was in so much agony. And then, of course, it was so cold that all I wanted to do was to get back down again. So that was interesting. But I know
I know that feeling. It's a wonderful one. And Kinabalu is a beautiful mountain for people to try, because it's not many days, but it's still high. Yeah. So it is cold and it is hard work and it is a sense of achievement.
It is. And you've got something very exciting coming up, a trek in Nepal, haven't you?
Well, I've got a trek in Peru first. So in July I'm taking a small group to climb in the Andes and climb into Machu Picchu, so trek into Machu Picchu. So that's very exciting. And then one for Nepal in October. So I'm just putting the final touches on the Nepal trek, but that will be probably in the Annapurna region. I'm trying to go not to an area that everybody goes to. My idea is to show some beautiful areas of these countries so that you, again, get that adventure of a lifetime. So it's challenging, it's exciting, it sees areas that you don't other see, and you're not probably with 4,000 other people trekking.
You know, so how does it work? Is it that people go to Sterling Results Fitness Club to get fit, and then they go to trekking adventures to go on the trek? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that feeds nicely into each other.
Yes.
And then once they've done the trek and they're so empowered and they feel like they're superhuman, then they come back home and they start a business.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yeah. And then they end up transitioning into Business Brains Club. You have got it worked out, Sonia. This is so good.
Yeah. I actually do have a Carline who does all three, four with me.
Oh, fantastic. Now, tell me, what would you consider to be the top three tips for success in life and work?
Ah, the top three. Well, let me think. I think one, especially in setting up your own business, let's have a look at it from being an entrepreneur and setting up your business. I would say number one is be a learner, always learn. So continuously listen to others and learn, read books, you know, get your knowledge as much as you can, because we are constantly learning. And I think you mentioned that earlier, Jane, when I talked about my corporate career and how I constantly learn. So that's really important in anything we do in life, is to have an open mind and to constantly learn. I think I'd also say do seek help from some others that you meet and give back. So it's a two-way street. So you don't know everything. So go out and seek help and be acknowledging that you don't know everything and get the right advice and right help. But also realize that you do know things, and so make sure that you give back. And in networking events, which I think most entrepreneurs spend a lot of time in networking events, don't just take, give back in those networking events. So if there's ways that you can add value, that's really, really useful. It all come back in tenfold if you give back. And I suppose the most important thing is have fun, stay healthy, and never forget to stop, or never forget to walk your 10,000 steps. It's so vital to your health to get 10,000 steps in a day. So stay healthy, stay fit, and be happy.
Love it. How many kilometres is 10,000 steps? My maths is really bad. You're the statistician.
It's about 7Ks.
7K. So every day we need to walk 7K.
Depends on the size of your step. Yeah. But you'll probably find that 7Ks will at least get you close.
So I guess.
And that's hard work.
Yeah, it is. Because if you're jogging it, that would be about just under an hour, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got to exercise for an hour every day.
That would be great. Mm. And then, you know, honestly, you keep all the illnesses away. There's a great study the other day, again, just about diabetes and just getting the movement, getting the pavement happening, and you really, your level of sugar decreases and your risk of diabetes stops.
So important. Now, I'm sure people want to find out about your businesses, okay, with an S at the end, many businesses. So where do people go if they want to find out more about Sonia Ray?
Look, I think the most easiest thing to do is to go to the Umbrella Company website. So I have sterlingresults.com.au, and it's one spot that everybody can then quickly find out about my other businesses. Mm. Each of those businesses has their own website, but that's too much detail. So sterlingresults.com.au talks about my three businesses under the umbrella.
Fantastic. Well, what I'll do is I'll put it in my show notes for this podcast and in janejacksoncoach.com. And so you'll be able to listen to everything that Sonia has, and contact Sonia if you wish. Do you have a special offer for any of our listeners?
Look, yeah, Jane, I was going to mention that. Mm-hmm. Especially if, you know, people have heard the podcast and they'd like to shoot me an email or send me a note and say they've listened to Jane Jackson's podcast with myself, then, and you're in business and you would like to perhaps get a little bit more help with your business. So I do these deep dives where people where businesses come and say, I've got a real massive problem in my business. And so we do a deep dive intensive session on it. So 2 hours where we just thrash around some ideas and really try and take you past that problem and solve that. So that's a 2 hour deep dive session. And if people mention the podcast, then I'm happy to offer that at a half price. So it's generally $600, and so you get 2 hours for the price of one.
Oh, that's a great deal. Thank you, Sonia. That's wonderful. So anyone who wants to have a deep dive into their business, make sure you mention this podcast when you contact Sonia at sterlingresults.com.au. And Sonia, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. You've gone on lots of adventures. I'm feeling a little tired now.
But we'll share notes, and I look forward to hearing more about what you did on Killer Kaboo and understand that. But been lovely talking to you tonight, Jane, and to your listeners. And, yes, happy Chinese New Year. We are at that time of the year in case.
Yes, it is. And so that means I have to say Gong Hei Fa Choi, which is congratulations and may you have lots of wealth.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Thanks again, Sonia. Bye.
Thank you.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers. There are over 180,000 book titles to choose, so give it a go and get your free audiobook today from audibletrial.com/Jane Jackson Careers.
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.